Yes, in the studio. No, not in the studio, on the phone. Although you could be in the studio. It's a good telephone line. A-Track from Duxor. Sir, where are you at the moment? What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? I am in L.A. at a studio, another studio.
Back in a studio already. So this is not the Hilarium Aquarium.
Yes, exactly. No, this is... Wait, no.
No, this is not the Hilarium Aquarium.
You've been reading our credits. No, this is another... I haven't named this one yet, but I'll come up with a name soon enough.
Okay, what is there, like, what was it about the Hilarium Aquarium that got it its name? Was there any sea life in there?
No, it was just the Hilarium, you know, where the laughter was. And then, you know, once you're laughing, you may as well be with the fish. So then the aquarium came about.
That makes perfect sense to me, Mr. A-Track, sir. All right. Well, within that Hilarium Aquarium is where finally the Duxor album has come. Quack, did you ever think when starting this with Armin van Helden that you would end up putting out a record, a full record?
In the beginning, I don't think we thought about it as a you know, that far ahead. It is kind of a side project for Armand and I. So we work very sporadically. You know, we might spend 2 weeks on Duxor stuff and then not touch anything for 6 months. But Barbra Streisand just, like, catapulted the whole project. And ever since then, it's been, you know, we've been sort of steering this duck into, you know, unpredictable airspace. It's an extremely unpredictable project. And I think once we figured that out about Duxor, like, once we realized that the best thing for Duxor is to not even try to plan anything out and just, like, take an extremely, like, nihilistic approach to it, then that was the best thing for us to do.
What a beautiful idea. And that is why there are so many, like, crazy little surprises and silly things on the album. In case you've been hearing A-Track say the words Barbra Streisand and go, "What? No, that's an actress. I don't know what you're talking about. Let me inform you.
Barbra Streisand."
Which was like 2 years ago now, I suppose. No, sorry.
Three years.
So long ago. And if you listen to the... I was reading the credits. Has Ezra from Vampire Weekend... I know he was in the video clip. Has he always sung on it?
Well, we just used some of his voice from the video, so we had to credit him. So basically, when we made the video, the song took a whole new life because there was all these little sound bites, you know, included in the video, whether it be like Questlove's drumming, Ezra singing, P-Thug from Chromeo playing the talk box, the Barbra impersonator, like all that stuff made the video its own little bubble. And we always wanted to release that version of the song, and that's kind of what we did on the album. So yeah, Ezra just hums a little bit in one part. Oh,
you mentioned P-Thug from Chromeo on the talk box. It is just because, you know, I guess we played here at Triple J, played Barbra Streisand the recorded version, the audio version, so much. When P-Thug just made his little cameo in the song on the record on Quack, I was like, ah, it's just like another dimension.
Yeah. It was important for us to, like, inject some new life in some of the older songs on the album. You know, we still wanted to include Anyway and Barbra Streisand, the first two singles, even though they're older. But then we had to figure out, you know, how to make them sound fresh and new. So Anyway has, like, a new mix with a couple more instruments and, like, more singing in it.
I'm going to play a song right now which has plenty of singing on it by a guy you've written down as Teddy Toothpick, but to my mind sounds a lot like your brother from Chromeo.
Yeah, that's a strange one, isn't it?
I don't know. I tell you, I'll put it on. It's called Everyone.
It's uncanny. It's uncanny, the resemblance.
I guess you did find a Barbra Streisand impersonator, so I guess if you can find a Dave from Chromeo impersonator...
Yeah, you know, it's the weirdest thing. She'll tell everyone.
On Triple J, that is Duxor from their album Quack. Finally got a full album out. That is Everyone, featuring Teddy Toothpick, who sounds a lot like David from Chromeo, who is the brother of A-Track, who's on the line right now. Now, that song samples Stephen Still, a song by him from Crosby, Stills and Nash.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the style that Stephen Stills is known for, but it is a Stephen Stills record. In the 80s, a lot of people did weird things. You know, the 80s is a time that threw a couple people for a loop. So, you know, Stephen Stills made an 80s style record in the 80s, and we sampled it.
It's so beautiful that you've got, you know, since Chromeo do channel so much of that smooth 70s/80s vibe, that then this Teddy Toothpick guy is singing on Everyone, and it just works out perfectly.
He just showed up, you know, he showed up one day with his toothpick. That's Teddy. I think one thing with the album that may have surprised some people is there's more 80s influence than the stuff that people originally knew from us. You know, when Duck Sauce first came out, people associated us with, in the beginning, was bringing back Disco House. You know, live instrument, disco feel. I think the second half of Quack is a lot more synth-heavy in 80s. Even Radio Stereo is very 80s, obviously, but like Time Waits for No One and Spandex, those are like way more synthed out. 80s influenced.
Did you see when your brother and P Thug and Chromeo went to go on, they went on Daryl Hall's show from Hall & Oates?
Of course, of course. And I mean, Dave was like texting me that whole day. He was so excited.
That was so seeing P Thug using his talk box to play I Can't Go For That was just, it's just one of those
Yeah,
moments.
That was cool. That was cool. Yeah, Daryl's like their good friend now. Like they've kept in touch with him.
My goodness. Do you know any of the artists that, like, because you obviously, you have to clear all the samples you use with the songwriter or the owner of the copyright. Have you actually met any of the people that you sampled?
Oh, that's a good question. No, actually, I haven't. The sample clearances usually go through to lawyers, and it's a grueling process, unfortunately. Like, it took us 1 year to clear all the samples on this album. It's pretty insane when you think about it.
Wow. But
the thing that happens also is, like, a lot of times you don't even deal with the musicians themselves. Mm-hmm. It's the rights holders, you know? So if someone signed a bad contract in the 70s and someone else owns their music, well, that's the person that you're playing the sample with. But sometimes the musician's dead, you deal with their estate. Yeah. There's this one sample, actually, that we were going to clear, and we had just sort of kept it on hold because we weren't 100% sure if the song was going to go on the album. And, you know, you got to pay when you clear these samples. So our lawyer kind of set it up. It was ready to be cleared, and then we put it aside for a couple months as we were working on the rest of the record. And then we went back to go and clear it, and we got a word back that the musician that had to sign off was, like, suddenly, like, on their deathbed, about to pass away. And there was we had no idea if we were going to be able to still, you know, clear the sample because this person might die. It was really, like,
whoa,
macabre. It was really weird for a couple of weeks. But that person pulled through, and we were able to clear the sample.
Wow.
The weirdest things happen when you deal with sample clearances.
Duck Sauce are probably responsible for lining the pockets of a whole bunch of almost forgotten 70s and 80s.
That's the positive side of sampling. It's like you just send a check to someone that made a record like 30, 40 years ago. You're giving back in a sense.
Good. I'm talking.
Duck Sauce likes to give back to the environment. I think a lot of the public at large thought that Duck Sauce was this sort of like radio singles kind of group. And Armand and I just really enjoy having conversations about, you know, mysticism and things like that. And, like, we wanted to take people into this weird universe of, like, almost a mixtape with, you know, all these little sound bites that come in and out between the songs. And
instead,
take you into our little adventures.
Instead of you know, it's a song being perfectly beat-mashed into the next song, so you're just dancing right through the album, you've actually got time for people to stop, have a giggle, and take in what's going on.
Yeah, because that's the other thing is, like, you know, the tempo of the songs are all pretty high up, and, like, part of the reasons why I think dance music albums often just don't work is because, like, you're beating people upside the head after a half hour. So, you know, we have these little wind downs between songs. It's like a little rest stop. You go for a little pee, and then you listen to someone talk about aliens, and then you go back into the next song.
On Triple J, another little bit from Duck Sauce's brand new record, Quack Energy. The A-track's on the line, the video for this, sir. You obviously have fun making the videos for Duck Sauce, but this one featuring John C. Daly, who people may know from The Kroll Show, doing his best infomercial weirdo look.
Yes, a lot of intense staring in that video.
He's the guy also that did that amazing Red Hot Chili Peppers Super Bowl parody earlier this year.
Oh, yeah, I missed that. I know his stuff on The Kroll Show, but, oh, yeah, I got to look that up. He's really funny. Like, I was just discovering his work when we grabbed him for the video, and oh, man, he really took the whole video to another level. As you can probably tell, a lot of his dialogue is improvised.
Yeah.
And, like, we had all the gags lined up, but when John Daly came up and, like, added his little one-liners, it took it to, like, a whole other dimension. When he's, like, you know, developed by scientists in Helsinki, Finland, and all that kind of
stuff. Yes.
I was looking at him like, yo, you're crazy.
he knew exactly what you wanted. You knew how to deliver it. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, we clicked right away. Me, him, and Armand and the director, the four of us.
Yeah.
Clicked right away. It was awesome.
Here is him. Here is John C. Daly. And this is the song that it was put on the internet as the song that the Red Hot Chili Peppers were going to play at the Super Bowl. And a lot of people believed him. Sounds pretty much like Red Hot Chili Peppers. John C. Daly did a good job. Anyway, next time you see John C. Daly, please pass on our respects for that. That was wonderful.
I will. That guy's incredible.
All right, so Duck Sauce have finally released their full album. It's called Quack. The album cover, it's like, I guess, a visual version of the music. You've taken a classic, in this case, the Mona Lisa, and you've put a beak on her. Are you allowed to do that?
Yes, the Mona Lisa is public domain. We looked at all that stuff.
I'm sure you did. It's like, it would be like the clearing samples question, I guess.
Exactly. There was some images. Yeah, here's a little known fact. When we did the Big Bad Wolf single, we had a first version of the artwork that was a take on Teen Wolf, but with a duck bill, and we had to scrap it because we found out that the Teen Wolf movie poster isn't public domain. It's owned by Warner, so they could have sued us. So then we created an original piece of art. I had to learn about all this stuff. I'm getting distracted.
It's like getting a college degree.
Yeah, like an annoying one because it sometimes stops you from doing what you want to do.
Exactly.
But no, you're right, though. I mean, the artwork has this sort of, like, reappropriation angle that our music does with samples. And there's also, like, just this general kind of, like, prankster approach that we take to everything that we do, you know? It's almost like Bart Simpson mentality, like, just making fun of grown-ups. Like, that kind of approach.
Of course.
You know? It's, like, surprising how many things you can do with, like, just slapping a duck bill on on images. Like, how deep it can get.
That is a beautiful piece of information, which I'm sure people will use. Now, what about slapping that duck bill on Australia? You guys have been here. I saw you at Phil Day. I think the first time I saw you, though, A-Track, was at the Sydney Opera House when you were playing with Kanye West.
With Kanye? Cool. Yeah, that was fun.
But are there plans to bring Duck Sauce to Australia?
Not right now. We toured Australia as Duck Sauce about a year and a half ago.
Yep, that was Phil Day.
There's very few Duck Sauce shows. Like, we're doing, like, three or four this year. Like, the duck is a rare bird in live performances. You know, we're happy that the album's out. We kind of just want to let it flap its wings for a little while. And then, you know, I've got some solo projects and other collaborations that are coming out now.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, and you've got to name that studio you're in at the moment.
I do. Every place I go to, I have to name, I guess. I'm here for one day, but maybe I'll name it.
That's it. Well, let us know. Send us a tweet or something once you've named it.
Yeah. I'll send a raven.
Yes, please, send a raven. Absolutely. All right, I'm going to play a song from the record. Although this is the original version, just a little bit of the original hit from the members, their track Radio. They must be stoked that you chose to sample their track.
I hope so, yeah. I haven't talked to them, but
all right, well,
it's cool to, like, give a new life to music.
Yeah, although you did this crazy chorused out bass line behind the brass. Didn't quite make it, but that's all right. I'm going to play your version right now. Hey, A-Track, thank you so much for chatting to us, dude. Have an excellent time, and hopefully we'll see you in some or another in Australia soon.
Yes.
Awesome, man. See you later, dude. Have a great afternoon.
Cool, thanks.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.